It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
They should be favored. This is how it should go. The Bills are the better team at literally every position except for tight end.
I can tell you who Kansas City doesn't want to see, and that's Joe Burrow in Cincinnati.
The best player living is Lamar Jackson.
Buffalo, I want Mahomes on the deck.
I think Josh Allen is more valuable to his team.
They should have lost it. They could have lost the Bucs. They got so lucky against Denver. Sorry, Kansas City. You're not even close. That's like comparing Picasso with a kindergarten finger painter.
Regardless of the outcome, I'm taking Josh Allen every single time.
Chiefs have the ball at their own 44. 8 seconds left, down 3. Safeties are back for the Bills. Mahomes takes a snap on the near hash. Goes down the middle to Kelce, 35, down to the 31. Timeout called by the Chiefs. Timeout at the 31-yard line with 3 seconds left, and here comes Butker, a 25-yard pass play. Placement down, Bass's kick is up, and the kick is no good! A little prophecy! Tyler Bass has struggled, and he just misses the kick. The Buffalo Bills run a fake on the left side, and the Chiefs knock him down. They hold the fort. Buffalo tries a fake on 4th-and-5, and the Chiefs defend it perfectly. 40, 35, 30, Cheetah at full speed, 10 to the 5-yard line. You play and press, the Cheetah will run you all the way around the earth. With 13 seconds to go in the game, a 36-33 lead for Buffalo.
The play to Travis, I mean, it was kind of a thing where he wasn't necessarily supposed to do that, but after the timeout, we got to look at what the defense was doing, and he actually said it to me.
Do it. Do it. And I was just like, all right, here we go, boys.
You remember the Top Gun, the first Top Gun movie, when they were ripping the pilots, and Tom Skerritt walks out, and they said, well, that'll pretty much cover the flyby. Guess what? This will pretty much cover the fact that Patrick Mahomes, coming into this game, had never won a road playoff game. He has now, and he does it in Buffalo. It's his 40th win on the road.
There it is. The Mets Amade open there. Speaking of Amade, shout out to Jerry last night. Good to meet him and all the wonderful people out at Jasper's. I want to go home and take a bath in the lobster cappuccino.
Yeah, how good is that, right?
I mean, dude, I was dipping bread in there, everything blacked out when I started eating that.
Mac's face last night was like when he found out DeAndre Hopkins was coming to Kansas City when he had that lobster cappuccino.
That's right.
So we had a good night for the BMA Foundation at Jasper's last night.
And you dropped the
I don't know.
I was told last night by Emily it's not the MLB, it's just MLB.
MLB,
it's a very
yes.
stern conversation.
You better get it
She's
right, because you do not want to piss Emily off. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm on good terms right now.
You're on very good terms right now.
Yeah. Tenacious is a
How good did her hair look last night, too? Like, shout out, Emily. She's looking great. Proud of her.
No comment.
But I also think you gotta get it right. The Jaspers, not the MLB or That's whatever right. the case may be. But yeah, shout out Jerry Anselmo, the BMA Foundation. Jerry's book came out about, you know, what it was like the day he found out he lost his son, Brian, and where we've been since then. And Jerry, little old man like this running around Kansas City doing his thing, we've raised over $3 million for Kansas City.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's been a hell of a ride with the BMA Foundation, doing great things by the day. Check them out at bmafoundation.org and get your meatballs on at Jaspers, right?
Yeah, that man was eating a meatball sub and Lay's potato chips last night.
Like Dusty walks in this morning and like, Jerry's the coolest cat ever. He ate a meatball sub and a bag of Lay's.
Yeah, it's like, I should have gotten that.
What if he didn't have the bag of Lay's? Would it still have been as good?
Not as much.
Okay.
The bag of Lay's at a restaurant is just a hell of a flex. Because the deli's like right there and just the man knew what he wanted.
It right? is a hell of a flex.
No, I mean, it's like, so you go to McDonald's, you're like, I don't really want fries. I'm going to bring my own tater tots.
That's
like,
right.
Okay.
All right.
Fair enough. It's script time, boys, where we get to try to be accurate as possible and then just be self-deprecated on Monday when we get it completely wrong. So let's get into our scripts here on Fesco and Dusty at 96.5 The Fan.
And it's all brought to you by the good folks over at Foaling. I think they're going to come up with their script as well and put it on their social media account. So follow them on social at FoalingKC, FoalingKC.com. Get your foal on at 435 and State Line. So, yeah, check them out and see if they put up their script of what they think is going to happen this week. The guys at Foaling are unbelievable dudes. Who wants to start, Mac? Why don't you start?
All right, let's do it. I think this is a game where the Chiefs actually start quick on offense.
Uh-oh.
They come out, they're ready, the script looks good, no pun intended. And it's one of the only times that's going to happen this season, where they come out firing on all cylinders on offense. The run game's competent as usual. D-Hop, Kelsey, they own the first drive. They own this game in general. We got a splash of Hardman in that first drive. I don't know why, I just think we got a jet sweep, little screen pass. Hardman has a good play. Josh Allen makes the Chiefs defense look average for three quarters, and then Spag says, you know what, I figured you out. Exotic blitzes, here you come, man coverage, zone coverage, you don't know what you're getting. Allen looks confused, and on the other end, that's when the Bills are tired. They're going to be craving buffalo sauce. Kareem Hunt's going to be taking his toll on that defense. Chris Jones will come in clutch with a sack in the fourth quarter, and Sean McDermott's going to make some sort of bad decision at the end of this game. It'll re-emphasize that conversation that would seems like we've had every season, like, is this the year? Is this it for McDermott? He's going to make another bad decision. I don't know if that's a timeout or bad clock management. The Chiefs will get the ball back, and they'll be able to run out the clock with a couple of first downs. Chiefs go 10-0, winning this one 31-24.
Very good. I like it. I like the way it's playing out. Dusty, you want to go?
Sure.
All right.
This is it, fellas. This is the game that we have every single year because Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes continue to lead their teams to the promised land of their division. So every year, guess what? Chiefs and Buffalo is going to play again next year, guys. Whether you like it or not, they're both going to win their division. But this is the game every year. This is the one that I get excited for. This is the edge of the seat game for me. This is, there's a possibility I DoorDash Parliament lights to the house. I'm dead serious. I don't know why this game does it to me, but it does. But I think this is a big DeAndre Hopkins game, a big Travis Kelce game. I had tweeted out earlier, if you missed it, at Dusty Likens, Travis Kelce averages 6 catches for 78 yards in this game against Buffalo. In his last 4 games, Travis Kelce's been a monster. So has Patrick Mahomes. But I think this is a big Travis Kelce game. I think you lean on your veterans. I also like Juju Smith-Schuster for about 3 catches for about 20 yards. But I feel he gets a huge first down late in the game when they need it most. Like a 7-yard pass play where D-Hop is bracketed, Kelsey's out of the play, and it just a nice little check out to Juju Smith-Schuster, gets that first down, and it's like, glad we got that guy back. I do believe the new kicker misses a field goal for the Chiefs, but it won't lose them the game. But again, big Kelce game and a big closeout from Kareem Hunt. Last week, Kareem Hunt had a lot of all-purpose yards, not a lot of rushing yards. The rushing game was kind of taken away. He only had like 39 rushing yards, I believe, in that game. I think the Chiefs win this game by 4. I think they win this game 24-20. Oh, by the way, if there was ever a time, fellas, for this to happen, Trent McDuffie gets that first career interception this week. Coming off his worst game, I think, of his career. Josh Allen is not afraid of you. I will say that. Josh Allen is not afraid of you. He will throw it McDuffie's way more than once or twice, like other quarterbacks in this league. And McDuffie's going to get him one time for the first time in his career. 22 gets INT number one.
All right. For me, this is going to be one for the ages, and it will come down to the final possession. Buffalo, as we know, will take an early lead. Pretty much been the script all year for the Chiefs. Then their defense will settle in. The Chiefs will get the running game going early, and that's going to lead to a big day by Travis Kelce. As you mentioned the numbers earlier, Travis against Buffalo's pretty darn good. He'll have another wow game for the Chiefs, make it four in a row for Travis Kelce. It'll be a one-score game at halftime. Second half, the Bills will score a touchdown, but that'll be it. Same with the Chiefs. The Bills will have their final possession, and Josh Allen will benefit from a third down defensive holding call that will extend their shot at winning. It won't happen. The defense comes up with its biggest stop of the season. They blindside Josh Allen, cause him to float one in the air, and it's intercepted by Chris Jones. Chiefs get the ball back, kneel on it to win 24-17.
Love it.
Can't wait to see how wrong we are on Monday.
That's right. I know exactly. It's every week.
Long as we're right with the final outcome,
yes.
The rest of it doesn't matter.
Chiefs W. Yeah, is there a guy in this game, I mean, that didn't show up on our scripts that you guys thought about? Like, oh, maybe this is an unsung hero this game.
FAU gets the big hit on Josh Allen to cause the ball to float.
I love it.
My man Joe, who got the steak, egg, and cheese bagel back at McDonald's, he says the new kicker goes 3 for 3, including a game-winning 50-yarder.
There we go.
Now, would that not be poetic justice? This guy, Spencer Strider, or whoever it is, goes out there and boom.
Never heard of him.
What would Buffalo fans do if a guy they signed yesterday, who's living in a Best Western and an Independence or wherever for 2 weeks, you know, he's going out there and knocking these kicks through the upright and wins a game for them? What will, especially since he's a former Jet, Bills fans may just absolutely implode.
From the 816, my script, new kicker hits a game winner just to stick it in deeper to Buffalo. Chiefs win 23-20.
Love it.
I'm good with that.
That would be the most Chiefs thing ever. This new rookie guy comes in and just ice in his veins. You know, the Jets offered him a spot on the 53. He said, yeah, I'll go to the Chiefs.
Oh, the Jets got something wrong? Weird.
Don't say it.
Okay. Did Dusty say he got laid or Lay's? No, he got Lay's potato chips.
Jerry got,
he
Lay's.
Might have got laid.
Yeah, he got Lay's potato chips.
That man had a damn pep in his step last night.
Oh, yes, he did.
Somebody on the text line says in their script, I think Worthy has a big game with a long touchdown.
I'd love it. Oh, it's kind of been feeling like the last 2 weeks with him just being a hair off. Maybe this is the week where he's a hair on.
That's right. Coming up on the other side, Nate Geary, the pre- and post-game host for the Buffalo Bills, joins the show. We give you that full interview, and then we will get into our cover two of what we are covering this week. And you are listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back in to 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Leggins, Bob Fesco, and Mac Likens with you as well. Here on another day of the regular season, Chiefs-Bills, Sunday at 3:25. What a loaded slate for the weekend. Colorado-Utah at 11. It's on Saturday. Tonight, you get Tyson and Jake Paul. Saturday, you get John Jones for the nightcap. And then Sunday, NFL starts at noon with the Red Zone. 2 o'clock, Casey Current. 3:25, Chiefs-Bills. But let's go to our guy, Nate Geary.
Nate Geary, the, I guess you could call him the halftime show guy, the pregame show guy, the postgame show guy for the Buffalo Bills and our sister station WGR in Buffalo. And it is, as we, I guess, come to every year, Nate, the Super Bowl of the regular season between the Chiefs and Bills. What's the feeling in Buffalo about this game coming up on Sunday?
Good question.
Thank you.
I like the word apathy for this game. I'm not sure, I won't speak for everyone, but there is sort of like is Chiefs exhaustion the right way of putting it? I think that might be the right way of putting it, because, you know, the Bills have done well against this Chiefs team in the regular season, right? The last three matchups, both two in on the road too, and I think for me, these regular season games have great meaning for the national, you know, sort of landscape, right? Like, it's Nance and Romo, it's Allen versus Mahomes. But I think for Bills fans, it's like, hey, we know Sean McDermott. We know that this offense and the Bills defensively have historically played well and have kind of had different game plans for Kansas City during the regular season. And then for whatever reason, when you get to January in the playoffs, the script sort of flips for the Bills. They become a little bit more conservative. They're playing like it's a one game or you know, win or go home sort of situation where they don't play that way in the regular season. So until, for me, Sean McDermott and the Bills, not Josh Allen, because obviously Allen, the 13-second game is one of the most brilliant performances we've ever seen, only to be outdone by Patrick Mahomes, right? I think these are very clearly the two best quarterbacks in football. You know, even if the stats maybe don't say it this year, you know, people can argue all they want about, you know, what stats year to year. Mahomes is number one and Allen's number two. But I think for me, the exhaustion sort of sets in that I'm not going to learn anything about the Chiefs if they lose. You guys aren't going to learn anything about the Chiefs so you don't know about them if they win. And I sort of feel that way about the Bills right now. The Bills are, what, four games ahead in their division. They're going to likely, I would be an epic collapse for them to not make the playoffs or win the division in some sort of capacity. Well, what am I going to learn if they beat the Chiefs on Sunday? You know, am I going to think they're a contender? I already think that. You know, will it be nice to watch Colin Cowherd and, you know, the national media put them, you know, number one in the power rankings? Yeah, sure, whatever. But I think the story of this game will, you know, sort of be secondary to if these two teams play again in January, which, I don't know, doesn't that feel like a foregone conclusion, guys?
Yeah, it really does. And you mentioned the term apathy, and I kind of went, whoa, apathy for this game. I think we're approaching it probably a little bit different than you guys are. If we weren't 9-0, maybe I would have more of that feeling. But sitting here at 9-0 with the potential to run the table, knowing this may be the biggest test left in the way of the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm coming at this thing with like, all right, let's go. Let's go get another one and keep this undefeated train going.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, the Bills have been banged up most of the season. They're getting healthy. They just opened Matt Milano's practice window, right? The 21-day window off the IR. That's huge news for this defense and frankly for the organization, getting him back maybe sooner than they thought that they would. And then you add in the level of there's no Keon Coleman already in this game. Dalton Kincaid's banged up going into this game. He may not play with the knee injury he had last week. Amari Cooper's missed the last 2 weeks with a wrist injury. For the Chiefs, no Pacheco. And I know that Kareem Hunt's played well, but Pacheco is, I mean, far and away the better back of those two, right? So that's the thing about this game, guys, is I think we're going to see if these two teams play again in January, they will be, especially the Bills, but I think Kansas City as well, markedly different. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is going to have two more months, you know, on task in the, you know, in the film room and reps with Patrick Mahomes. I assume that will look differently, you know, this week compared to what it'll look like potentially in January. So yeah, I think for me, like it comes down to, for the Bills, for this game, I can understand why, you know, Kansas City fans are jacked up about this, because what else do you guys really have? You know, obviously the three-peats there, that's always sort of in the back of your minds. But now you're looking at, like, hey, can we scratch the surface of greatness? Can we do what Brady never was able to do, which was go undefeated and then win a Super Bowl? So, listen, I think there probably is a little bit more desperation is not the word, but I think want for this game for Kansas City because, again, chasing greatness means something for them. They've already got two straight. They're looking for three straight, maybe one with an undefeated season mixed in there. Absolutely, I could see them being up for this game, maybe more so than the Bills are. But don't get it twisted, guys. I mean, these are the Bills know this is a measuring stick game for them, even if it's not for, like, let's say us, the media or the fan base.
So Buffalo kind of beat up. What's the script for Buffalo this week against Kansas City? Obviously, Kincaid, they'll be monitoring that throughout. Coleman's already out. What is Josh Allen's already been great with less talent around him this year. What is the script for Buffalo against Kansas City this weekend?
You know, I maybe want to take a little bit of what we saw Joe Brady do against Kansas City in the playoff game. Now, I think a lot of people looked at that game. They saw the score at the end. It was close. The Bills really kept the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. Listen, I think there's a little bit of revisionist history about that playoff game. Everyone was so upset about the missed field goal that Tyler Bass had, but like, guys, to me, that should have been maybe not a blowout, but at least a two-score game. The, you know, Mecole Hardman fumble into the end zone, you know, basically covers up the fact that Sean McDermott put the ball in the hands of DeMar Hamlin on fourth down on a fake punt. That sort of gets pushed aside because it ended up being the field goal that was really the, you know, sort of the face of that loss. But I never thought if the Bills made that field goal that they were going to figure out a way to win that game. And I think for me, if the Bills' game plan is similar to the playoff game last year, I think it's a huge mistake. Josh Allen had 39 attempts and 180 yards passing. That, to me, is not necessarily the recipe that I'm looking for the Bills to deploy against the Chiefs. Playing keep away, and they don't do that in the regular season. That's the thing I think that's a little frustrating for me, is the change, right? It's, well, we're going to go after Patrick Mahomes. We are going to try to score more points than the Chiefs. That, to me, should always be the game plan. Be aggressive on fourth down. You know, go for it instead of kicking field goals. You know, use Josh Allen on those fourth and short plays up the middle, right? Like, you got to maintain the same aggressive nature you have in the regular season versus the playoffs. So I think for me, it's like every great regular season blueprint sort of gets thrown out the window when it comes playoff time. So if I'm looking for game script in this game, if Amari Cooper and Dalton Kincaid both play, I think that changes what they do pretty dramatically. Because if they've got to go, now bear with me on some of these names, with Tyrell Shavers and Jalen Virgil as wide receivers, then I can't imagine you're going to see a lot of three and four wide receiver sets. They're going to have a lot of Shakir, a lot of Mac Collins, and they're going to try to run the football. And they've been successful running the football. The thing I really liked last year was the usage of James Cook in the pass game against the Chiefs. And I think if you're looking at one area the Bills will try to take advantage of, it is the matchup at running back and slot receiver versus your linebackers. The question is going to be, two straight weeks, the Bills played Kenny Moore, who I think is probably the third best slot corner in football. Now they're going to play the best slot corner in football in Trent McDuffie. So between Trent McDuffie, Taron Johnson, and Kenny Moore the last two or three weeks here, the Bills will have games featuring some of the elite players at that position.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the defense here in Kansas City, Nate Gary, because I look at the defense here and I wonder out loud to you, has Buffalo seen a defense that has been as impactful as Kansas City's has been this year?
No, I would say not. Weirdly, they struggled. They might be the only team that struggled against the Baltimore Ravens. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that game. I don't know. A little bit of it is just like kind of hard to explain. I mean, that's the worst pass defense in football. They can generate a little pass rush, but largely they can't cover anybody. The Bills just couldn't separate in that game. It just was a real conundrum for me. So, if that's the worst game they've played against a bad defense, this is by far going to be the best defense the Bills have faced to date. Now, Houston played okay against the Bills in that game. Josh Allen just had a really off day. Guys weren't separating. He was really trying to force the ball down the field. I think in this game, the Bills are going to want to try to remain patient. They're going to force the Chiefs to tackle. And listen, that's not a shot to say that I don't think the Chiefs tackle well, but they're going to force you to be perfect. And Khalil Shakir right now leads the league in yards after catch. He has turned into, I think, the real primary weapon in this Bills offense, the screen game. I'm going to tell you something now for anyone listening and watching this game. I think this might be the game the Bills hit a double move. They've been hitting this little bubble screen pass to Khalil Shakir for weeks, and teams are starting to really cue on it. I guarantee Kansas City is thinking, we are not going to let Josh Allen get the ball out right as he gets it off the snap, get it into Khalil Shakir with blockers in front of him, and weave his way through our defense. We're not going to let that happen. So if they try to jump that, it would not shock me at all if early in this game the Bills do a quick, you know, sort of pump to that bubble screen and then a go down the sidelines. Like, I've been sort of waiting for that because of how teams are defending it. So that could be a little wrinkle for your listeners to maybe to watch for in this game.
Nate, give me a deep cut here. Can't say Kelce and can't say Hopkins. Who does Buffalo target down on the Kansas City Chiefs offense?
Well, it looks like Juju Smith-Schuster is going to play in this game. You know, and before the injury a couple weeks ago, he had his best game in like 3 years. So I think for me, the Chiefs are like the Bills in this way, is they've got the two best passers in football, and yet they both really, they want their identity to be running the football. They want third and manageable. The Chiefs are the number one offense in the league in third down conversions. The Bills had been there for a long time. They're 18th this year. They have not been particularly efficient on third down. So for the Bills, they run a lot on first down, but they are one of the more aggressive teams in the NFL in neutral down pass. So like, you know, whenever the first and 10, they do like to run the football a lot, but second and long, they don't run. They throw the football a lot. I think in this game, if the Bills defense has to cue in on anything, it's got to be stopping the run and Kareem Hunt on first down, and making sure there's no easy, you know, 5-7 yard plays to Juju Smith-Schuster where, you know, he can get the ball and fall down in the zone coverage. Because obviously the Bills guys are going to run a ton of zone at this Chiefs offense. I don't think they're under any sort of impression that they're going to be able to go out there and confuse Patrick Mahomes with a lot of pre and post snap movement from safeties and, you know, dropping in and out of coverage. I think this is a game where Spags and Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich both have enough respect for each other's opponent, I think, where you're not going to see a ton of disguised looks. It's going to be, hey, we're four across. We're going to, you know, for the Chiefs, we're going to spy Josh. For the Bills, we're going to spy Mahomes, and let's play football. And I think that's probably what we're going to see on both sides in this game.
Nate Geary, WGR, we appreciate the time. We'll do it again before the AFC Championship game, my friend.
Love it. Love the prediction, and thanks for having me, fellas.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, Nate.
Once again, thanks to Nate Geary there for his time. And again, the apathetic word there.
Crazy, isn't it? That's like, right. I guess I just can't wrap my head around being apathetic about such a big game on the schedule. And obviously, I think personally, and again, this could be the homer in me, but I think this is... This is a bigger game for the Chiefs than it is for Buffalo, quite frankly, because of everything that's at stake and everything that's on the line. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about the Denver game. And I said, I'm glad you called me today because the last couple of days I didn't have a voice. I couldn't talk. And we were kind of talking about the game. I said, that's the best regular season game I've ever been to. And the person on the other end of the phone was like, really? And I said, yeah. I said, when you factor in what was at stake, the perfect season, all this kind of stuff. And his response was like, yeah, I guess you're kind of right about that. Like when you start to kind of break it down. And so the low hanging fruit is, oh, this is bigger for Buffalo. They got to get a win so they can stay in the race. But ultimately, we're watching history taking place right before our eyes. We're watching something that has never, ever happened before. And that's an undefeated season, a Super Bowl championship, and a three-peat. And all of that is on the line. And so that's why I think it's more important for Kansas City, legacy-wise, than anything, to get this win up in Buffalo, because I know this was one of their big goals going into the season, was to not only win a three-peat, but to go undefeated and create the legacy of the best team in the NFL history. And so right now, I think that's why it's more important for Kansas City than it is for Buffalo.
No doubt about it. Mac, you ready to do the cover too? Big nerd segment here for all of us.
Oh, God, yes.
Bob, why don't you start us off on your cover, too?
All right, I'm going to start it off with the Nooner, and then we'll watch football after that. High Noon, 12:02.
Yep, okay.
Absolutely.
Pineapple-flavored?
Probably. Mm. Pittsburgh versus Baltimore is the one that I'm going to be dialed in on this one, right? Like, how... nobody's talking about that game this weekend because of the Bills and the Chiefs. And that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game has an opportunity to be a classic. And I just think it's a great appetizer to Chiefs-Bills. Like, CBS, just sit back and put your feet up this weekend because you got Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and then you roll into the Chiefs and Buffalo. I mean, I can't wait to see what's going to happen there. And if Pittsburgh wins this game, and you and I kind of talked about this before the show, is Mike Tomlin revitalizing Russell Wilson stronger for Coach of the Year than Andy Reid going undefeated?
I mean, they're having a revival with Russell Wilson's career.
That's, I think, sure. It's got to be, man. It's crazy.
Russ has put up better numbers than Josh Allen and Mahomes over the last month. Who would have thought, like, the revitalization of Russell Wilson?
Who'd have thought we'd have been saying the best deep ball right now in the NFL is Russell Wilson, not Mahomes or Allen?
I know. It's wild, man. So that's one of my cover twos. And the other is Chicago and Green Bay. I think it's going to be a good game, but I'm dialed into seeing what Caleb Williams can do. Is he a guy that crumbles and disappears, or is he a guy that takes adversity and brings the best out of him? We'll see on Sunday against Green Bay, because there's a lot of adversity, a lot of teammates allegedly saying they don't want this guy as their quarterback anymore.
Veterans, so what we were told, is a couple of vets. So it's a very vague very vague.
Now, are we talking veterans in the military, or are we talking veterans on the team? Because you could use that term veterans, and they may say they just interview some guys at the VFW for dollar beer night or something.
Or people that take care of animals.
It could be that as well. So,
you like a veterinarian, right? Like you've been in all those wars, mate.
So it brings us full circle back to the beginning of how hard the English language is to learn, because we just talked about three different veterans there, right?
Veterinarians and the aquarium. Sorry.
So can Caleb rebound? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what this guy's made of against Green Bay, because he, what, sacked nine times last week?
Nine times.
God, just unbelievable.
Planetarium, if you've ever seen South Park. Mac, what are you covering this weekend, other than brioche?
Brioche, for sure. Three games this weekend that are absolutely electric. And
it's cover two.
We've talked about one of them all week, so I don't need to talk about one of them.
Which one is that?
Chiefs Pills.
Okay.
That one, yeah. Pittsburgh, Baltimore,
that's
what Bob mentioned. That's going
to
be incredible. At noon, then at 3:25, and then after, my other cover two is Chargers versus Bengals. Huge game for playoff purposes. I mean, Bengals lose this game. Not technically done, seven losses, but they then, to me, would officially have to win out the rest of the season. And then, of course, the Chargers. Everyone's crowning this defense. Oh, Harbaugh, he's rebuilt it.
It's best defense.
It's good. It's not the best defense in the league. I think we'll see that Sunday night. But I'm stoked. This is the best Sunday slate, I think, all year.
Yeah. Think about the you mentioned seven losses, right? Does that really matter? Because week 11 in the NFL, according to our guy Ross Tucker, 11 teams have three or fewer wins. A third of the NFL has three or fewer wins. That playoff positioning is going to be jumbled at the end of the season.
It's going to be crazy.
Mac really likes the Sunday slate. I'm confused by that. Indianapolis, Colts, and the Jets. Minnesota, Tennessee. Cleveland, New Orleans. Jacksonville, Detroit. Vegas, Miami.
Is that a letdown game for the Lions?
Yeah, I don't think Jacksonville, Detroit's as crappy as we might want to think.
I mean, I definitely would take Jacksonville on the points. It's a 14-point favorite for Detroit Lions. Some places 13.5. You know how that goes. Big time double digit spreads never seem to pan out. My cover two is similar to you guys. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. There's so much into this game. Lamar Jackson versus Mike Tomlin, right? Like that matchup that continues to be who can get the best of the other one. This is a prove it game for two quarterbacks in this game, like it is in the Buffalo Kansas City game. Who wants to take their team to that next step to be the number one seed in that game? We all know what that game means and what it's about. Lamar Jackson versus Russell Wilson is not something that I thought I'd be talking about on November 14th or November 15th in this 2024-25 season. But this is one of those things. Lamar, if you want the MVP, if you want this division, if you want to be that guy and be in the conversation consistently with Patrick Mahomes, this is a game that you have to go out there and you need to win. Pittsburgh has shown that they're good. Again, I don't know if Washington maybe had us a little bit on the fraud scam. Possibly. They're still young. They're still decent. But they have lost back-to-back games to two teams where they blew a 10-point game to those Pittsburgh Steelers last week. And then they lost that game last night to the Philadelphia Eagles as they just couldn't stop Saquon Barkley down the stretch. But I look at this game. Russell Wilson goes up against a bad defense. Russell Wilson should be able to put up numbers the way he's been playing. Lamar Jackson goes up against a good defense. Can that number one offense in the NFL for the Baltimore Ravens continue to do what they do? We get TJ Watt. We get Derrick Henry. We get all these names and these big guys, which is AFC North football. One thing we can all agree with, guys, it is a slobber knocker every time an AFC North team plays another AFC North game.
They're great games.
They're always fun. And then my last one is Atlanta versus Denver. This is, to me, one of those games where, like, hey, Atlanta, are you that team? Can you take care of a team like Denver, who's a little bit of a pest control, right? I think Denver's more than just a mid team. I think they're a little bit better than a mid team. But also, I look in the factor of Denver lost to Baltimore, got blown out, got really aggressive, didn't go so well. Lost to the Chiefs on a last second blocked field goal. What does that do to their team? What does that do to the morale? Does that let them know that they have a ride, that they are there, that they are one arm away from beating the reigning defending two-time champs going for a third time title? I don't know. But I want to see if Atlanta can take care of business of Denver, or if Denver is like, hey, we lost a heartbreaker to the Chiefs. We got blown up by Baltimore. But damn it, we're here. We're a team that needs to be respected. And we're going to play against a team in Atlanta who's going to win the South, who revamped their team with the quarterback position, who's got a good offense. Mm-hmm. Their head coach is seeming to figure things out with this team. They're moving in the right direction. I like this game a lot because, one, it's Denver. It's a division opponent against a team in Atlanta that you beat that a lot of people think you got lucky beating.
Right.
Maybe this is a game of two lucky wins against the Chiefs or versus the Chiefs against Atlanta and Denver. But I'm watching that. I'm definitely watching a lot of that Pittsburgh Baltimore game, and I'm definitely going to be tuned in with my ear to the wall of that Atlanta Denver game as well. And that's the cover two here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology. It's the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Prediction on Pittsburgh and Baltimore? Do you want me to give you the line of that game?
Doesn't Tomlin, like, own the Ravens?
I can find that out.
Like, Tomlin's, like, 36-0 against Lamar. Like, it's crazy how good Pittsburgh is against Baltimore.
Like, do you trust that Steelers defense or that Baltimore offense more?
Steelers defense. I always trust a defense more than an offense because it's harder to score than it is to stop somebody, I think.
Pittsburgh is a 3-point dog at home. The over-under in that game is 48.5.
Tomlin is 21-16 against the Ravens, including the postseason.
Yeah. That's ownership in the NFL these days, you know, because everything's 50-50, right?
Yeah.
I wonder how many of those games, any of those games against Flacco? Probably.
Sure.
Got
him. Oh, God.
So
yeah,
of course. Lamar.
Yeah.
But no, the games that we were talking about covering, Baltimore is a 3-point favorite on the road. Denver is at home, and they're a 2-point favorite against the Atlanta Falcons.
That's crazy to me.
Lamar's 1-3 against the Steelers, so 1-3 against Tomlin.
Big time to prove it or don't.
Hey, it's got to be more than 1-3.
He's been injured in a lot of these games. Tyler Huntley had to play a game last season.
Are you telling me that Lamar Jackson has only played against the Steelers 4 times in his career? There's no chance. What?
I know.
Lamar's been in the league since what?
Well, he's been injured.
He's been injured multiple times. In that first season, he didn't play half the year.
And then he had like the illness a couple years ago where he was constantly sick with flu. Not the flu, just flu. Emily.
He's only 1-3?
I know. It's very strange.
He's only played 4 games. They play twice a year.
I know.
Tough.
Wow.
2-4.
That's the shocker of the day right there.
2-4 in the playoffs. Coming up on the other side, there's a fight tonight that brings in a lot of generations as to why. We'll tell you on the other side. Plus, there's some audio of, when you think Mike Tyson's done it all, he just completely surprises you. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, tonight, according to DraftKings, they think the fight's going to start at 10 p.m. I don't know if that's Eastern, Central, Western. I don't know what time that is.
It's in Dallas, so I would hope they would do the local time. So 10 p.m. here is 11 p.m. East Coast time.
That's okay. That's about right.
Yeah.
It's about right. Tyson and Jake Paul fighting tonight. I think we can all go around the table real quick. Tyson, we're all rooting for Tyson?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Tyson.
I'll eat your children.
One of the best of all time. My back. Spinal.
Yeah, I think my back is broken. Can you elaborate on that? Spinal.
Yeah. What do you mean your back is broken?
You trust Mac on cutting audio clean? Has he gained your trust back?
Yeah, I think he will try.
Mike Tyson was interviewed by an 8-year-old yesterday. I want to reiterate that.
Excuse me?
Mike Tyson was interviewed by an 8-year-old yesterday.
Mac interviewed Mike Tyson yesterday?
That's exactly right. No, she did a really good job just prefacing that. Great job.
And this is Mike Tyson with an 8-year-old.
Well, in your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this, I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when you're dead? Why do you want somebody, do you think somebody really wants to think about you? What's the audacity? I think, I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone?
That's exactly what legacy is, though, Mike. Like, your legacy is not when you're alive. Your legacy is when you're dead.
Dust. No one gives a blank about you when you're dead. You're dust. You're nothing.
8-year-old's like,
quiet,
cool.
Quiet. This is my favorite part. You took a hit from Mike Tyson to the face.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I mean, imagine being 8 years old and hearing that. Your life is changed.
Well, the exactly. answer the answer was like, okay, I've never heard anything like that yeah. before, but great. Thank you. That was outstanding. That's really good. I mean he's the best. Who's rooting for Jake Paul?
Seriously. If you're rooting for Jake Paul, man, what are you doing?
I bet Logan Paul is.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Kai Kinnett, probably.
What about Chris Paul? Cliff Paul, his brother. Remember his brother Cliff? Yeah.
What about his mom, RuPaul?
Yeah, it's true. What about my friend Paul? You think he's rooting for Jake Paul? You met Paul's parents last night.
Paul's parents, yeah.
What Great about people. Peter, Paul, and Mary?
I think so. Talk about a stone threesome. Those three singing about Puff the Magic Dragon. I mean, you ever watch their old videos? Oh, my God. Those three. I mean, that's like Miss Lippy with the paste all over her face is Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I would, Miss Lippy.
Does Mac know who Miss Lippy is?
Negative.
Do you know that her car is green?
Never heard of him.
Welcome to Billy Madison. Mm-hmm. This was Jake Paul and asked about fighting the next fight after Mike Tyson.
Would Canelo be the next fight, finally? Would that happen?
If he's not a...
There's the answer!
Tough audio.
Great audio. That was good.
Yeah, he asked if he would fight Canelo after the fight. He said, yeah, if he's not an effing blank, okay. And he uses a term in Spanish.
Yeah.
Meaning a term in English.
Correct.
As well, so if you can... put that together, but that yeah, it's tough audio, but it's still like that's what they asked Jake Paul, and he is just he's the senior citizens ender. He just goes and fights guys way past their prime and gets a lot of views for it. There will be a ton of views. We'll talk about it Monday. I guarantee you this fight is a success.
Of course it's going to be a success because right. It's a bleep show, right?
And it's Tyson.
And that's what we like, and it's Mike Tyson, right? Yeah. It's a generational thing. You know, I grew up watching Tyson. Mac grew up downloading Jake Paul YouTube videos. So, I mean, this is kind of
There's a massive generational gap in this fight.
It is, but that's also good because it does encompass everybody, right? It encompasses every generation, older, younger, middle. Like, it encompasses everybody in this, because I think no matter who you're rooting for, who you are, you either know who Mike Tyson is or who Jake Paul is. Like, it's a brilliant idea. And I think that's part of the reason why a lot of states aren't letting you bet on this fight, because there are a lot of people who don't believe this is a real fight. It is a scripted fight. And, you know, during the break, Dusty's like, yeah, you know, you got to have Jake Paul win this thing to kind of keep the Jake Paul aura alive. If Mike Tyson beats him, then the Jake Paul thing is dead, and then you're not selling any more fights.
Well, good.
You've had that take, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, but I guess the devil's advocate would be like, don't people want to watch Jake Paul lose?
You do.
No, but like most, right?
I mean, maybe.
75% of the bets are on Mike Tyson.
I think this is the first time he's fought somebody that like the majority is on the other side. Like Anderson Silva, I don't think really anybody cared about. You know, guys like that, I don't think that they really cared about, because like, didn't he knock out Nate Robinson like cold?
Yeah, wasn't that, he played basketball.
He was
dunk contest winner
with Glenn Baby Davis, who's now in jail for life.
No, not life.
Not life.
No, a couple years.
He's
too bad.
He Snapchatted his bus ride to jail, actually. But if you want betting odds, which I guess if you want to bet on a WWE match, that's fine. I'm staying away from it because I think there's too much going on. Jake Paul is -200. Mike Tyson +160. The over under on rounds is 6.5. I don't think Mike goes past 5. I get it. It's Mike Tyson, Iron Mike. That was 25, 30 years ago.
Long time ago.
Right.
Yeah. 58 40, now.
Yeah, he's 58. He had to postpone this fight already due to heart conditions and training.
Yeah.
The slap in the face yesterday, meh. I don't know if it was real. I don't think it was. I think that's just to get people ready to go for Friday night. I mean, I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to lie to you, because I think this is people that say they're not going to watch this fight are like me saying they weren't going to watch the World Series.
Right.
Where was I?
Well, you're watching the World Series.
Every single damn time.
So let me ask you this. Is Mike Tyson still like that one athlete where you hear his name and you still think he's got it? Because we don't let our quote-unquote heroes ever go. You know, like Mike Tyson feels to me like if he's stepping in the ring, it's go time.
I'll tell you this. You watch it. You go into this fight tonight. You're probably like, I think Mike Tyson can win.
Yeah.
The Masters start in April.
Tiger.
Same thing. You're like, I bet he has a chance. If he can just get through day one.
Right.
Like, if he can just get through a couple rounds, we can have a serious discussion. Tiger makes it to moving day. We might have a chance to see Tiger win a Masters. And what happens every time?
Doesn't
he misses
win.
The cut.
It's kind of like LeBron now, too, though. Like,
oh, stop. You know? LeBron just had a triple-double not too long ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like, two nights ago. He's great.
Like you'd never think he's not going to be able to do it.
You never think he's that. Like, Mahomes, the same thing. Like, you never, like, no matter how much time's on the clock, Tom Brady, you know. Yeah. Like, if Tom Brady suited back up today for the Raiders, you'd think they were going to win the game.
Absolutely.
You'd think he would make a big play.
Absolutely.
There aren't many of those guys over the course of time where you just look at him and you go, I don't care how old you are, where you are in life. If you step foot on the course or the court or in the ring or whatever the case may be, you're going to win, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to root for you. And Tyson's kind of one of those guys.
If Michael Jordan got on the court today and played 25 minutes, how many points would he score in today's NBA?
Who's he playing against?
Doesn't matter, just in the NBA.
If he went on the court today, I would say he probably...
Over, under 10.5.
Over. Because Michael Jordan is one of those guys where you tell him he can't, and he's going to go out there and show you that he can.
Other odds in this fight, if you think Jake Paul is going to win by a knockout, it's plus 150. Jake Paul by a decision or a technical decision, so like a heart stoppage or he's just not there, plus 280. A draw is plus 750. And Mike Tyson winning by a knockout is plus 250. So they think if he's going to win, he's going to win in the first two or three rounds by just a right hook. Because if he does do it and Jake Paul literally has signed the contract to be okay being knocked out, dude, I'd love that.
That's very enticing.
Will you think Jake Paul wears headgear in this thing?
They did show that when he weighed in, he had a metal ear cover over his ear that was obviously towards the Evander Holyfield. Have you ever seen Mike Tyson fight?
Yeah, like YouTube. I mean, of course.
I'm not talking about Mike Tyson's punch out, like actual.
Yeah. I just always remember the stories of people.
Do you even know what Mike Tyson's punch out?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, when he like bit the ear off?
Is that no, that's a about? Video game. Nintendo.
Oh, N64. That's great.
No.
You know who Glass Joe is?
I don't know who Glass Joe is.
The first guy he had a fight and then the Mike Tyson punch out.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I never played that game. I know the game.
Piston Honda, you know who that is?
No. Yeah, me drunk on a Saturday night in the backseat of my buddy's car in college. He said, you can charge. He's like, you can charge for the cleaning fee on that one there, dust man. Oh, man. I can't wait. Coors Lights and fights tonight. That's all I know about.
Oh, God.
Coming up on the other side, we get into our Richard of the Week. Might happen last night, and I couldn't believe it. Get to the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode. So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.